At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Lombardi, the playoffs are coming, and they're coming fast. You got 3:30 your time, 12:30 my time, we kick off, so I'm excited about that. Quickly, as we say hi to Michael, the Dr. Cousins is out.
Yeah.
Your boy, Kirk Cousins, has tested positive. He's out. Who saw that coming? The world.
Well, yeah. I mean, could he do more harm to one franchise? Take all the money. You know, take all the money, be selfish, take all the money, and then, you know, don't protect the team. And, you know, he's going to cost his head coach his job. Not going to make the playoffs,
right.
You know, and they're going to be 7-9 going into the last weekend, and you can kiss them goodbye. Everybody's going to take whoever in the contest, you can guarantee, write it down, the Green Bay at 7 is the easy play here. I mean, it's kind of selfish on his part. I mean, it's just part of the Kirk Cousins, you know, when you go over the tapestry of his career, it's just take all the money, don't do anything to help the team, and, you know, play good when you play good, put great numbers up, and, you know, don't get criticized. I mean, why does Aaron Rodgers get so much criticism and Kirk Cousins doesn't?
It's a fair question.
This is fascinating to me. You know, to me, this is just part of the Kirk Cousins. There'll be a documentary on it. I mean, really, you talk about a lack of being a team player, and this is pretty the case. Look, I don't begrudge him. His W-2 is his money that he's made. He deserves it. But obviously, winning isn't most important to him.
Yeah, it's well put. It was seven prior to the announcement. It immediately came off the board. I was texting with my friend Jason. I said, it's going to be well above 10. Well, Circa has posted it. Westgate had posted. That is coming up Sunday night. Minnesota Green Bay is now 13. So he impacted that number.
Can we flex it out? Can we flex it out? I mean,
who wants to watch
Al
it?
Michael, do you think Al Michaels is spending? There's no way Al Michaels is spending New Year's Eve in Appleton, Wisconsin at the Lombardi Hotel right over there where everybody stays. There's just no chance, is he?
Well,
it's a Radisson. The Lombardi Steakhouse is in the Radisson there in Appleton. I urge everyone, if you're a football fan, it's one of the greatest. I'm not saying it's a great steakhouse. It's a good steakhouse, but it has the greatest memorabilia of Lombardi you could ever see.
Love to see that.
Tremendous. Tremendous.
13.5 DraftKings just went there. So Minnesota Green Bay, that's the news as we open up the Lombardi line here on New Year's Eve. Kirk Cousins is out. Again, who saw it coming? Everybody. So
we saw it with Wentz. We saw it with Cousins. You know, Wentz, you know, he doesn't have to test. All he has to do is be asymptomatic, as we talked about yesterday. I mean, I went over those rules again. They posted them online.
Good luck.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's so subjective. You know, it's so subjective. But, you know, I mean, if he doesn't play and they lose to the Raiders, there's another one.
That matchup, Minnesota-Green Bay, I'm not overly excited about. I will tell you, for a multitude of reasons, I'm very excited about these semis today. Cincinnati, Alabama, just, and may I just tell you this? So I had a chance. I was on the field last night for a little bit watching warm-ups with here at Allegiant Stadium, Michael, with Arizona State and Wisconsin. And just the player, I'm not putting down Arizona State's kids, but the difference in recruit of Wisconsin and Arizona State was glaring. Not only just bigger, Michael, but the athletes. Wisconsin had better athletes. They were bigger. I bring that up because now Cincinnati, Alabama, there's going to be a discrepancy between athlete. We understand, like, Jerome Ford, the number one running back there, the bell cow for Cincinnati. He played 2 years at Alabama. He was recruited by Alabama. It's not like, as far as a group team, Cincinnati's a big team. But there are going to be differences as far as human beings here.
No doubt. And the differences lie as the game goes on and the depth of these teams. Because like we talked about yesterday, you know, you're going to miss a certain guy. You know, yeah, you'll miss Meacham. But Ja'Cory Brooks could be really good. You know, Hall could be really good. You know, Holden, Baker. We don't even know these names. Slade Bolden. I mean, who could it be? You know, all these guys are legitimate. They would be the best of the recruiting class of Cincinnati.
Yes.
And I think Amal makes a great point, and this is a tribute to Coach Saban, is Saban signs off on every player. I mean, he's not just going to say, okay, if you want him, we'll take him. No, that's not what he does. He's got to watch it. He's got to be sold on it before he says, offer him a scholarship. And they rarely miss. They rarely miss. Now, there's some times like Kamara, where, you know, there's some off-the-field issues that forced him to transfer to Tennessee, you know. And so I think there's sometimes where they lose some players. But they rarely miss on guys. And I think as this game goes on, I think the volume of talent of Alabama will ultimately be what causes Cincinnati to lose the game.
So we discussed yesterday we thought it would end up. It's 14 at most books. You can still find a 13.5. So if you are on Bama, that's, you got to have the best number. 13.5 would be it. If you're on Cincinnati, it's 14. You got a total of 57, Michael. This is it's just fascinating, just because it's the first group team ever, and this is where Bama lives. Bama lives in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, the other thing is too is we know Nick Saban is really, really good at spending time breaking down the opponent and allowing him to figure out what he needs to do to win the game defensively. And I think Bill O'Brien and Doug Marrone, I think they proved themselves to be elite coaches in college football with their game plan against Georgia. And I think that's really, it's going to be hard. It's going to be really challenging for, you know, Cincinnati to take this giant step. I love that Cincinnati's here. They earned it. They belong here. You know, and I don't care if they lose by 21 and then people say they didn't belong. No, they earned it. They belong there. But there is a giant, huge step up in class, and it's going to take some challenge. It's going to take some. It's going to take a lot of luck and a lot of smart planning on how to play this game and adjusting. That's the other part. They've got to be able to adjust this.
Well, to your point, Alabama hasn't played since December 4th. I was looking through Nick in the semis. He generally blows out these teams. So, and there's a reason. He's got a month to prepare. And remember, the last time we saw Alabama, they beat up on Georgia 41-24. So it's, and again, Cincinnati backers will push back and say, well, as far as the discrepancy in player, we beat Notre Dame. That's a big-time program. We beat Indiana. That's a big-time program, non-conference. Indiana was down this year, fair. And Notre Dame, we understand they're a very good football team. It's just a different level here with Alabama. And so, again, do you think it closes 14 everywhere? Because we're getting there.
Yeah, I think it does. And I think this, I would say to all the people that don't want to hear what we say about Cincinnati, you're right. You had a tremendous year. But football is a game. It's a war of attrition. It's a war of attrition. And, you know, the Alabama team just has more players. And they can keep bringing more players. And they can, and they don't lose any level of play when players are not tired. And they can rest their players and get them ready for the fourth quarter. And so, to me, this is just the difference in terms of how many talented players you have on your team. You know, the NFL is more balanced in that sense because, you know, few teams have elite players and then there's a bunch of guys in the middle in the depth. I think, like the Chargers, for example, the bottom half of their roster is one of the reasons why they're not very good in the kicking game. The Packers, the bottom half of their roster. You know, and so you see that. In college football, you know, you don't usually see that discrepancy where one team has a full roster, the other, because they can recruit. This is one of those games that you can see it.
You know, what's interesting, Michael, about this one, you mentioned Nick Saban having time to prepare. It's funny. So Bama finishes 12-1, 7-1 in conference. Leading up to Georgia, they failed to cover in November against Arkansas, Auburn, and LSU consecutively, leading into Georgia. And Georgia was hot. And then all of a sudden, the game plan – I mean, they threw all over Georgia to mitigate that huge defensive front. And Bryce Young wasn't sacked. So the protection got better. That to me is glaring, because Cincinnati can get to the passer, but so can Georgia, obviously, and Bryce Young wasn't sacked in that matchup.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they've had their problems during the year. They were not a covering machine that we're used to seeing them, you know, and the Auburn game kind of took a lot of wind out of their sails, in the sense if they would have lost that Auburn game, but they found a way to come back and win it. You know, the long drive at the end of the game for Bryce Young to get them back, to get it to go to overtime, was somewhat remarkable. And they're resilient. And I think those games, those close games, those ability to fight through adversity, make them a stronger team today than ever before when they face Cincinnati. It's going to be a challenge for Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati's going to have to gain a possession. They're going to have to win the kicking game. They're going to have to do something outside of just playing good. They just can't play good today. They got to do something unique to win the game.
And my assumption is, just because Cincinnati's strength, I mean, first off, it's a very good defensive team. Sack rate's up, but their secondary, Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant, those are two pros at corner. My assumption is we're going to see a lot of Brian Robinson Jr., the fifth-year senior who had over 30 carries multiple times this year. Do you think, Nick, if we take a look at the total, you think he tries to wear down this team?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, it's a war of attrition. It's a boxing match. You know, you want to show your dominance. You don't need a quick knockout punch. You want to wear them down. Wear them down. Get this game into the second half and really wear them down, and then take the game over. You know, take the game over and make them have to play from behind, and make them have to match and protect and pass protect. Get this one-dimensional. I think this is going to be such a good game to evaluate Ryder in. It's going to be such a good game to evaluate him in, to see how his accuracy, how he performs under pressure, and how he speeds up his game. You know, how he can speed up his game moving forward.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. And that does give them some solace to have a guy with a ton of experience under center. But it's just, from what you're telling me, it's just Nick Saban's going to challenge this team. You're better. Yeah. Are you tougher? Let's go out there and prove it. And that, to me, it's attritional.
And as long as we don't make mistakes, we will not lose the game.
That's 100% right. And Cincinnati can cause turnover. So it's just fascinating. And then the matchup, I was texting with a friend earlier today, because I feel like Michael has a huge lean on Michigan. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah.
And so right now you could still get the hook. It's still 7.5. We'll come back and discuss the second semi, of course. Michigan and Georgia, that's going to be a big one. We continue here on the Lombardi Line on New Year's Eve. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, football season is here. It's time to download BetMGM Sports Nevada, Nevada's premier sports betting app. All your favorite wagering options, of course, and game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip, bring that state-issued ID, you're ready to go. Must be 21 years or older. Please gamble responsibly. If you do have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. I also, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I do love the talk of, you know, Bill O'Brien takes over the offense after Sarkisian leaves, and it's been a less dominant offense. That's going to happen when you lose Mac Jones, who, by the way, is starting for the Patriots. It's going to happen when you lose Najee Harris, who is everything for Pittsburgh. Devontae Smith's having a great year. Leatherwood and, you know, that front. And they're still, what, averaging 42.5 points per and 6.7 yards per. So it's like, yeah. I mean, is Alabama's offense that bad? It doesn't have the balance it had last year, but it's still been just, you know, it's been awesome.
You know, I mean, and the fact that they're playing, I mean, I know Bryce Young won the Heisman, but he has a lot to learn and grow from.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, he's not an experienced player. I mean, one of the reasons you develop, you know, this is what happens with young quarterbacks in the NFL. They learn the system, and then they develop their skills within the system in the second year. And I think that's what we're going to see next year. Bryce Young's going to be even more dynamic next year. You know, and look, I mean, Robinson's been a really good, but typically Alabama has more of an elite player at running back than they have had this season. So, you know, I think to me, you know, we have too much of, we grade these Alabama games by how dominant they are when, you know, some of these other teams are good too.
Oh, yeah. And you're going to have, if Cincinnati's going to have to get to Bryce Young, Michael, Georgia, 20 blitzes in the SEC championship game, no sacks. And
yeah.
Again,
it's going to be hard to get to them. If Luke Fickell says we're going to blitz, he's basically thinking his corners can hold up. And the pressure's got to win. And, you know, that's a tough, and I think we'll test that out in the first quarter. We'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. And their front's got to play the best front. Cincinnati front's got to play their best.
And we understand how great that secondary is of Cincinnati. Guess what? Georgia's got pros in their secondary as well. And two teams this year threw for more than 215 yards total against Georgia. Bryce Young threw for 248 in the second quarter. Yeah. I guess I don't have a heavy lean on Bama Cincinnati just because I'll enjoy the game. I'm with you more Michigan, but that SEC championship game kind of changed, opened some eyes to, oh my goodness, this team could be special, you know.
Well, and I think, you know, when we look back over the Alabama season, Texas front gave them trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's front gave them trouble.
That's right.
You know, Arkansas gave them some trouble. Mississippi's front didn't give them any trouble at all in that game. But for the most part, and when you break down this team, sacks allowed, they're 100th in the country, right? They're 12th in the conference on sacks allowed. And so their inability to really be great pass protectors. So what O'Brien did and Marone did was they knew they couldn't hold the ball, so they got the ball out quick against Georgia. And I think that was the difference in the game, because when you really break this down, I mean, the two key areas that you want to evaluate at offensive line is their ability to run block and their ability to pass protect, right?
Yep.
And Alabama is the tenth team in the conference, in the Southeast Conference, in running the football, right? The yards per carry, they're 10th. They're 81st in the nation in that category. So they don't really run the ball effectively, and they don't pass protect effectively. They're the worst pass protecting team in the conference. They're 12th. So, you know, I think that's – they've had to overcome that with the passing game and put more of the responsibility on Bryce Young, which, you know, may work out tonight, because I don't know if Cincinnati has a dominant front to go against them. They had to answer that. Now, if they play – let's say they play Michigan. That's going to be an interesting game, because Michigan's got guys that can rush the passer and they can hold up against the run.
To your point, they picked a great time to show up and play an immaculate game, that being the SEC championship game, against a team that most thought there was a chasm between Georgia and everybody else in the country, that includes Alabama, and Alabama killed them. So we'll be.
Yeah, and I mean, look, and I've said this before, I don't mean any disrespect to Stetson Bennett, but it's hard to beat Nick Saban without an elite quarterback. You know, Desmond Ridder has to play at a very elite level tonight for him to win. I mean, you're not going to beat Nick running the ball, play action, you know, managing the game. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to get you're going to have to get blue chip play from your quarterback. And if you don't, then you're going to have a real problem.
One thing I do know is I think the Lombardis are in charge of the TV programming today. We got one at 3:30 and one at 7:30. That's your sweet spot. And the one at
perfect for me.
I love it too, man. I go to sleep early. Orange Bowl. This is very much going to be a battle at the line of scrimmage. And both teams are going to want to run the football. And I think Michigan can hang. It's 7.5. I'll let you run with it.
I thought, in honor of John Madden, you know, John Madden's grandson is on the Michigan team. So obviously Coach Madden had great appreciation and fanfare for the Michigan football program this year. And so he obviously watched a lot of games, as I have, on Michigan. And the first thing that struck me watching them against Ohio State was their ability to block. I thought the execution of their offensive line was almost pristine. It was perfect. And their fundamentals were outstanding. And they just really dominated the line of scrimmage. As I said many times before, they weren't ever in a third down in the second half of that game until the very end because of this offensive line. And Madden sent Harbaugh a text basically after watching that game with the same kind of envy of an offensive line, which I thought really is. And to me, that's what's got to happen tonight. That offensive line has got to play to the highest level. They're going to have to throw the ball. And as Amal said yesterday, they threw it more effectively than most people think. I'm not saying they got to throw it down the field, but they're going to have to make some plays in the passing game. And, you know, I think that they got an ability to run the ball. If you go back to when Michigan played Alabama in a bowl game, they ran the ball on Alabama. You remember that? I think it was a Fiesta, one of those off-the-kilter games. It was a great game. I think it was 5 years ago, right? You know, it was, and so that was the Florida State game. But anyway, I think to me, they're going to have to do some things, run the ball, but they're going to have to throw it a little bit early in the game. And if they can do that, and if this line plays to the level that I think they've played it all year, frankly, I think it's been a dominant, I think it's one of the best offensive lines in all of in college football. And if they're able to do that, then I think that they'll have an opportunity to put pressure on Bennett. They'll rush Bennett. I think there's no doubt they'll be able to put some pressure on Stetson Bennett and force him to have to make some plays in the passing game, in the drop-back pass game.
And Gattis, who's running the offense there at Michigan, has trusted McNamara more, and I agree with them all to that point. But this really comes down to Corum and Haskins and running the football. They ran for 297 yards against Ohio State. Ohio State's not lining up with, I mean, that's a good defensive front. They ran for 297. One team has topped 130 against Georgia this year. That's why I think this is such a fascinating matchup, right? And specifically on first downs, Michael, Corum and Haskins, they're averaging almost 6 yards a carry on first downs. That's going to be key for Michigan to get ahead of it today.
Yeah, they've got to stay ahead of the down. First down is going to be critical. Stay ahead of the down and distance. They're going to have to see this game from a throw to run, not a run to throw. And, you know, and make some smart decisions. Cade McNair can't turn the ball over. Even in the Ohio State game when he turned it down there, gave away points. You know, and they're going to have to be able to put pressure on Bennett to get him to make some mistakes. And I think the one thing is in this game is you can't play from behind against Georgia. If you start to play from behind against Georgia and they can kind of tee off on you, you got a real issue.
The other side, and you've talked about Mike McDonald. Mike McDonald's the new defensive coordinator at Michigan, and he's completely turned this defense around. He came from Harbaugh in Baltimore to his brother. The secondary was terrible in 2020, completely revamped. But what you really think about when you talk about Michigan is Ojabo and Hutchinson. Those edges, right. If they can get to Bennett, they can disrupt this game.
No doubt. And you know, last time they played Ohio State decided to stay in a five-man protection. You know, and that just made the game easy for Michigan. They stayed in a five-man protection, never adjusted their protections out, just felt like, okay, our five guys will block their five. They couldn't, and it became a real problem for the Ohio State passing game. I don't think Georgia will do that. Georgia's too conservative with their passing game to do that. I think Todd Monken will be more careful, especially knowing you've got a Chip Hutchinson, Ojabo. You're going to have to really do some good things on them, or else this is how we lose the game. If we turn this ball over and let Michigan play on a short field, this is how we lose the game.
So I said 7.5 still out there. And by the way, it's mostly 110 everywhere, so that's your juice, your vigorous. It's really not going anywhere. If I were to ask you, I've got a minute here, we'll come back and discuss. Do you think Michigan has a chance to win this game outright?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think they do.
Okay.
I think they do. I mean, they've got to play great in the kicking game. They cannot turn the ball over. You know, they can't make the mistakes, but there's a pattern, there's a way I see the game going where they could win. Now, there's also a way they could lose. So I'm not saying I think this is a good game. I think the numbers I'm all said is a little high. Michigan, you know, if they beat Michigan State, I mean, this probably is a 4-point game. But I do see this as a way to get there. I don't see Cincinnati having a path to beat Alabama.
To your point, special teams from 2020 to 2021, just a huge jump in productivity this year for Michigan.
No doubt.
That plays into it. No,
plays huge in field position.
Yep. Absolutely. And the kicker's been so good this year. Okay, there it is. We'll come back. We'll continue with this game is fascinating to me. And then we've got Wes Reynolds joining us as well. Lombardi Line here on New Year's Eve. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, if you missed the Lombardi Line, you can find it anywhere you find your podcast. So that's iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast. But also, if you missed any show here across the network, every show is podcast. VSiN.com/podcast. It's VSiN.com/podcast. But beating the book with Gil, Alexander, Market Insights, Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicappers, JBT, Lombardi Line, aforementioned, Follow the Money, Coast to Coast Hoops, and more. VSiN.com/podcast. An opportunity to catch up on every single show. Okay, Michael Lombardi, I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on New Year's Eve. My guess is after Georgia, Michigan wraps up, you're probably not going to go clubbing with Millie. You're probably going to call it a night on New Year's Eve.
No, I'm going to go out to dinner and enjoy the evening.
Are
you? Make sure we have a, yeah, of course, yeah, you got to, yeah.
Nice.
Got to bring in the new year the right way and still be able to see the game and enjoy dinner, and you know, it's hard to stay awake till 12 o'clock. I got to be real honest, you know.
You got to stay ducking Omicron, too. I was out last night, and that's all anybody was talking about. I had a rapid test, Michael, this morning, and just because I was paranoid, and I took it. Now, if I take a rapid test 12 hours after I'm at a game, does it really? But I felt like I don't know. I just felt guilty coming to work, so I took it. So negative. I was dancing around the house. But anyway, big plans. Are you hanging out with Berman tonight?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Who else would we bring the new year in with? I mean, you know, I mean, come on.
That's the only way to do it.
Come on. It's the only way to do it.
And I mean, it's perfect.
It's the absolute.
7:30, so 8:39. Yeah, I mean, you'll have the game will wrap up, and you'll have an opportunity to hang out.
You know, when you're old, when you know, when I was a young kid, we used to, everybody from Ocean City. This is when gyms became popular and everybody joins this gym over offshore. We call it offshore, which you have to cross a bridge because we're on an island. And one of my favorite people in the world was the mayor of the town. He was an Italian guy, and his son, he joined the club too. And his son filled out his goals, and his goal was to stay awake past 7:30. And you know, when you reach that point in life, you know you're old.
But I was looking at a map because Ocean City, where you live, gets so mixed with Ocean City, in Maryland. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at a map, and it's such an interesting spot where you live. Quickly, and because we're a gambling show, and this is my fault. I'm walking you right into this. Why'd your family settle there on the island?
You know, most of the Italians that are from here that came here because they are from Ischia, which is a little island off the coast of Naples, and so this is a little island off the coast of New Jersey.
That's
not
cool.
That they look the same, you know, but there was similarities between the two. So when they landed at Ellis Island, they one or two came down this way, and the next thing you know, that led to more coming this way. And so most of this Ocean City, there's not a huge Italian population. There's significant amount. Gay Talese, the great writer, Honor Thy Father. He went to school with my mother. He's from here, but they're mostly all from, most of this town is from Naples, Ischia, Capri, and then the Foggia side, which is the Adriatic side.
So do I have to do like a special handshake to get on the island, or is there something to that?
No. Just bring your own booze, though, because we're a dry town.
It is
BYOB. Bring your own booze. Yeah.
It's
BYOB.
It is BYOB.
Better go to Circle Liquor Store, ask for Chester. He'll give you a good discount. Come right over. Everything will be good.
Shout to Chester. We've got Wes joining us, our very own Chester, coming up in a little bit. Interested to get his take on the two semis. We talked to him all yesterday. He said he felt like this number was heavy. Now I'm getting nervous. Because you, Amal, everybody, but it just even with the hook hanging there, I'm like, man, that is tasty with Michigan catching that 7.5, Michael.
Yeah, no, and I think look, I think when you look at Georgia's team and you see what they're able to do, I mean, you know, look, There's so many games where, you know, Georgia Tech, they shut out. You know, Charleston, Missouri, 6 points. Florida, 7. You know, Kentucky scored 13. Auburn only had 10 on them. I mean, Arkansas couldn't get a point against them. So we know how good they are dominant. It's going to take a complete package. It's going to take the ability to throw the football on first down and make some plays. And it's also going to be able to, you've got to stay ahead of the count. You can't get behind in this game. And, you know, when you've got to force Stetson Bennett to make some plays outside of his comfort zone, you know, when he can just run their offense in a way, you know, then it becomes easy. But this is a team that, you know, that they're able to create pressure. I mean, they're 13th in the nation in sacks, right? So other than that Alabama game, the ball's got to come out quick. And Harbaugh, you know, I think that one of the things that people forget about Harbaugh, it's kind of interesting, you know, I mean, we had this conversation about the Hall of Fame the other day and about who's in and who's out. Harbaugh has a 69.5 winning percentage in the NFL.
Great coach.
Now, he only coached 4 years, only 64 games, you know, and, you know, he went to playoffs in 3 of the 4 years. He was in 8 playoff games in those 3 years. He won 5, lost 3. So 62% winning percentage in that, lost the Super Bowl. But, I mean, he has been a good coach. I mean, he's been a really good coach. 69.5% winning percentage is outstanding. And just now, I know it's 4 years. You know, Sean McVay's 5 years, he's at 68.4. So, you know, I think he doesn't get enough credit for being, because he couldn't be able to beat Ohio State. People kind of don't think he's a good coach, and yet he is a good coach.
No, your point is well taken. San Diego, Stanford, and then into the pros, where he hardly lost, as you mentioned, in those 4 years. And to be fair, prior to him getting there, this is a 5-7 Michigan team. He's gone on to win 10, 10, 8, 10, 9, and now 12. The COVID year I'll just toss. But he's won. You know what it is? He couldn't find a quarterback.
Right.
And McNamara, who you mentioned before, has, when he's needed to make throws, he's made them. But what they've done is special teams and up front on both sides of the ball is really where this year Michigan has stood apart, as you talked about that offensive line play.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think this, too, and I don't mean to be critical of Don Brown, his former defensive coordinator, but Don Brown is the ultimate battleship football coach. He takes way too many chances. He, you know, he's got all the stats to back up his numbers, and people were raving about what he did defensively, but he gives up a lot of big plays. He gives up a lot of big plays. And I think that that really hurt them as much as any, especially against Ohio State, especially in those big games where they couldn't control the game. And so I think the change has been good for Jim. And I think this is a team, when you look at this team, there's a sense of camaraderie that you see amongst this team. And I think that that's a positive. And now, look, Georgia's a really good team. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be an easy game. You know, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be back and forth. There's going to be ebb and flows within it. But it's not going to be an easy game. But I think it's going to be a really entertaining game.
I do, too. And it'll be, you know, Zamir White, who is, you know, RB1 for Georgia, but they got a quintet. They've got 5 guys they use at running back. I'll be curious to see, because Bennett's really never had to come from behind. I'll be curious to see if Monken goes up tempo to kind of just, because Pickens is back, the stud wide receiver, but I just don't see Georgia taking a lot of chances from the pocket just because of those edges. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to play a clean game against. You can't give a team that needs extra possessions more possessions, right? You don't want to do that. And I think you want to be, and especially in these games, these final 4 games are playoff games, right? And what is the key to winning playoff games in the NFL or in college? You've got to be able to control the third and shorts. If you don't do that, you're going to lose. And everybody says, well, that's not really, you know, that's not a big deal. No, 3rd and 3 or less is hard to convert in playoff games. Because, you know, for all the people that want to go for it on 4th down, when games get these important, you're not giving the ball to your opponent on your own 30. Mm-hmm. You're going to punt if you don't get those. So you've got to have an extensive catalog of plays on 3rd and 3 and 4. That's really important. Secondly, you've got to have a really good red zone package. You can't settle for field goals. And you can't do the Brendan Staley thing and go for it every 4th down because it's going to cost you. But you've got to be able to maximize the trips you get within the red zone. And we all know this more than ever. It's turnovers. I mean, it's all about turnovers. You can't turn the ball over. You got to protect the football. You've got to make sure that you don't lose the game. And I think that's really ultimately what matters in playoff games. Who can avoid losing? Can Cincinnati avoid losing tonight? And I think the longer that game goes, the dominance of Alabama will take over.
attrition. Does 45.5 feel like the right total for Georgia, Michigan?
It does. It does. It's a pro game, and that's a pro under over number. Am I right or wrong on that?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a pro. To me, it's a pro. It's a pro style game. Neither offense is flat. Now, I know both offenses have scored 50 points and all that, but they're not the typical. We're just going to spread it out. We're going to run 1,000. You know, they're going to do what they're going to control pace of the game. I mean, Kirby wants to control pace of the game as much as anybody, and so does Harbaugh.
Yeah, you nailed it. 45.5 as far as the pro total. And to be fair, you know, I keep on talking about still having the hook. To be fair, this opened closer to 8, 8.5. So Michigan
has
been
come down
bad.
A little bit.
Yeah,
and we still have a long way to go. I mean, right now there's 61,000 tickets on the in the Alabama game, and that money is split 54-46 favoring Cincy. The Georgia Michigan game is 55,000 tickets written for that. They'll probably both these games might get to 100,000 tickets. Now Michigan's got 80% of the money, 80% of the money. 65% of the tickets, 80% of the money.
And that's why Vinny, yesterday, we joke with him about kind of straddling that fence, but he's going to get 90% of his cash today. That's why whether my assumption would be if I told you one game settles at 14 and the other settles at 7, do you think that sounds about right?
That sounds about right. I think that's the way the betting market's going. Although the Cincinnati, there's a lot of Cincinnati love out there. It might stay under the 13.5.
Okay, we shall find out. With these games coming up today. Coming up next, Wes Reynolds joins us here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer. New Year's Day, simply place a $10 Moneyline wager on any sport to win $200 in free bets. You just use the bonus code VSiN200. So again, tomorrow, just place 10 bucks on any sport. And if you win, it's 200 bucks in free money over at BetMGM. All promotions are subject to qualification. Eligibility requirements, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. It's BetMGM.com or simply download the app. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi on this New Year's Day. We got the semis coming up. Wes Reynolds, of course, host here on VSiN, joins us now. I know he has a play on the under in the early game, so we'll start there. We'll say hi to Wes and happy New Year's Eve. Wes, let's start there. 58, if you can find it, you're going to go under that total.
Yeah, good to be with you guys, and happy New Year to you both. Yeah, I did on this first game, Cincinnati-Alabama. I played under 58, also took a piece of Cincinnati at plus 14. When you look at this, Cincinnati, I don't think, is going to be necessarily overwhelmed by the moment. Because if you remember, they did play Georgia in the Peach Bowl last year. Actually had a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter, just couldn't make it hold up. But I don't think it's going to be okay. They're against SEC athletes, so they're just going to be absolutely overwhelmed. I don't think that's the case at all. And what I really like is Cincinnati's defense, especially that secondary. If you look at the matchup perspective, this is actually the best secondary Alabama is going to play all year. Cincinnati might have the best cornerback duo in all of college football. They've got Kobe Bryant, who was the Thorpe Award winner, Sauce Gardner, who's only allowed 136 yards on 36 targets all season long. And that's, I think Alabama is really going to miss John Metchie here, because he was kind of that safety valve underneath. And this is a guy that had 96 catches, a little over 1,100 yards, and he's that possession receiver underneath. And they're going to miss him, because if you look what Alabama has, I know they have plenty of talent, but it's not always necessarily proven. But besides Jameson Williams, you don't have an Alabama receiver that had more than 32 catches on the season. So I think Cincinnati, their secondary, can keep the Heisman winner Bryce Young from really carving them up. I do have some concerns about the Alabama offensive line, which was very good against Georgia in the SEC championship game. But the game before, you saw that Auburn was really winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. Their defensive line absolutely outplayed Alabama's offensive line. So, you know, once it got to 14, I had to take a shot with Cincinnati. And I do think if Cincinnati is going to stay in this game, this is going to have to be a little bit more ball control and not try to get up and down with these guys, because that's going to be a losing battle for Luke Fickell's guys.
And what do you think about, I mean, I agree with what you said. I mean, this will be the best secondary, and it'll be a challenge. And Alabama's offensive line has to play their best game, but Cincinnati's defensive front's got to play their best game as well. You know, but to me, where do you see Desmond Ridder fitting in versus the Alabama defense?
Yeah, Michael, and he's going to have to hit some explosive plays. They're going to have to do some play action on the early downs. I mean, you don't want to get, okay, you run the ball a couple times, then you're in 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 all game long, because that's not going to work for Cincinnati. We know they have a Will Anderson Jr. Alabama does on that defensive line, the same Will Anderson Jr. that says Alabama has been an underdog all year long, but we digress, so... You know, you're going to have to really, I mean, hit them with quick hitting play action, I think, early on, because they don't want to get necessarily behind the chains. I do think that Cincinnati, by the way, if they do get to 4th and short, they have a little bit of a shaky kicking situation. So you're probably going to see Luke Fickell be a little bit more aggressive and go for it on 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 4 to, you know, kind of keep this going, and knowing that you're a 2-touchdown underdog.
The total... Talk to us about the tempo, the flow of this game. I'm expecting Alabama to run the football, and I would imagine you are as well. With that total of 58, you're going to go under the total.
Yeah, no question. I think you're going to see them try to mix it up. I don't think it's just going to be pass. But one of the reasons I did like the under, as I mentioned before, was the secondary. Number one in passing efficiency defense is Cincinnati. Second in passing yards allowed. You can run it on them a little bit. They give up about 137 a game. But the defense just, they really don't give up a lot of explosive plays. I know that this is a step up in class, and I do think Nick Saban is going to want to establish the run, because this has not really been kind of a vintage Alabama rushing attack. They only rate 80th out of 130 in FBS, about 148 yards a game, because they've been so explosive with Bryce Young in the pass plays. But this is where they're really going to miss Metchie, I think, in this game, Patrick, and I think it keeps it close.
I want to get your take on, because I want you and Michael to go back and forth on Georgia and Michigan. I don't think, Wes, you have an official play, but let's talk Georgia-Michigan right now. Georgia laying 7.5.
Yeah, God, this is two teams I really don't want to fade, and that's why I haven't played this game, because it's kind of like two teams I want to bet on, because I want to bet on Georgia, because I think everybody's going to say, okay, this is just the same old Georgia, good but not quite good enough after that another loss yet to Alabama. But this is where you would think that they would rebound. But I got to tell you, I like what I saw out of Michigan, because I commented on during the Ohio State game, I was like, this is like Schembechler Michigan football. They're going back to being physical. They're going back to controlling the line of scrimmage, running the football. Now, they do have two quarterbacks, because I think McNamara and J.J. McCarthy, the freshman, they have proven that they can make plays down the field if they have to. So I think that this is going to be a very physical game, and I, you know, it's just one I'm looking forward to watching. I didn't really have a strong play on. I may get involved in game, but I think they're relatively evenly matched. I understand why people are taking the 7 and the hook with Michigan after what they've seen, and maybe they're a little lukewarm on Georgia, but I will say be a little careful doing that.
You know, Wes, that's kind of what I was hoping for. You know, I wanted to see the I wanted to see Alabama play Georgia again. And then we would have the Michigan-Cincinnati game just to maybe have a Michigan-Alabama or a Michigan-Georgia game for the final, because I think Cincinnati will be the team that gets eliminated. And it set it up. I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, because I wanted to see both, you know, Michigan play these really good teams, and with Georgia taking Michigan or out of it, or Alabama, you know, whatever, it becomes a little bit more problematic. So I understand why they put Alabama one over Michigan. I get it. But to me, I thought the seedings would have looked better for the games, because I'm like you. I kind of wanted to see the final in a different way.
Are we all in unison? I'll start with you, Wes. If you were forced to have to watch one of these two, is it Georgia-Michigan?
Yeah, it probably is, because I think you've just got two. You've got two defenses that, look, they're looking to rip your heads off. I mean, they don't care what the score is. They're very aggressive. They both have very good pass rushers, especially on the Michigan side. Georgia is so good against the run. They have three of the four highest interior run defenders in the country in terms of ratings. You have, you know, I just don't know how Michigan is going to be able to run the ball as well as they have all season. And also on the Michigan defense, you got to worry about that play action. I know everybody in the market is kind of lukewarm on Stetson Bennett, but we've seen all year he can hit you on play action on those early downs. So this is going to be a very good ball game, and I had to stay off Michigan a little bit here because I worry about that recency bias.
Michael, forced to watch one. I know it's Georgia-Michigan, right?
Yeah, no doubt, no okay. doubt. I mean, I just think it's going to be a pro game, and it's got a pro line. I think it's two well-coached teams. You know, I think it'll be a battle in the trenches. It's a mental toughness and a physical toughness game. Not that Cincinnati, Alabama isn't, but I just think that game, the longer that game goes, it becomes more problematic for Cincinnati. As Wes said when he started this segment, when Cincinnati was playing last year, they kind of got wore down in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, well put. Wes, got 2 minutes before we go get a pro pick here. Cincinnati hosting Kansas City, you're going to take the 5.
Yeah, I am. And look, it's hard to go against Kansas City when we were all kind of thinking, okay, the Chiefs are broken, or at least that was the sentiment on social media, right? That the Chiefs were broken after that loss at Tennessee, 27-3. But since then, they have now won 8 in a row. I think the defense has been very good, especially that front four. I'm interested to see, and JBT and I were talking about this on the Edge a couple days ago. I'm interested to see what Spags does. If he goes ahead and just plays them straight up and gets pressure with the front four, tries to do that, or if he blitzes, because Burrow, I think, has actually been pretty good against the blitz a lot lately. And I just think, you know, Kansas City, they can still, I think, be had a little bit on defense, especially on play action. And if Burrow has time, we could see that he can pick defenses apart.
There's no doubt. This game, that game to me is all about the pressure. It's all about the four defensive front versus Cincinnati. And when Cincinnati faces a team that shows pass rush, they have not been the explosive offense that we see. This is going to be really a challenge for that offensive line to block these guys at Kansas City.
Take the 5 with the Bengals, says Wes Reynolds, as they look to win that division, of course. Host here on VSiN all over. Wes Reynolds, enjoy the games today, and Happy New Year,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, Wes.
Thank you.
Happy New Year. Appreciate you all year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
It was a great job. At Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter. Also, if you like golf, long shots, he and Brady do a great job with that. When we come back, some Philadelphia soul heading into the new year, Michael. I can't go for that. No can do. So we'll go pro. And we'll wrap up the show with a little bit more college as we continue along here on the Lombardi Line on New Year's Eve 2021, headed into 2022. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.